just want to acknowledge my colleagues, Dr. Anderson and Dr. Braun, both of whom are at the University of Maryland in the College of Public Health there. So just to give you a quick look at what I'm going to talk about, essentially, why did we do this study? Why does it matter? Who did we study? How did we study them? What we found and what we think our findings mean for research and practice. First, why did we do this study? excuse me, barriers to access and utilization of healthcare resources among rural populations is a significant public health issue. And similar to, I think, what you experienced with people with disabilities, I experienced in terms of studying rural is a lot of times people don't consider rural populations to experience health disparities, like, for example, ethnic minorities. But they are indeed a health disparities population. In fact, the Federal Office of Rural Health listed health care access as the number one priority to be addressed in health disparities research. Health disparities research also has shown that rural residents are less healthy than urban residents. For example, they have higher prevalence of smoking, obesity, physical inactivity, and limitations in daily activity due to chronic health conditions. They're also more likely to die from chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, unintentional injuries, and suicide. Finally, rural poverty exceeds urban poverty significantly, and this exacerbates many of the illnesses that are associated with being in a lower socioeconomic group. There are also structural barriers in terms of the kind of care that's available. There are fewer specialized physicians in rural areas. Most of the physicians who work in rural areas actually were trained in urban and suburban settings, and so they don't have the cultural competence needed to work with rural populations. Additionally, what you see is rural physicians have limited administrative support, so they're trying to deal with insurance companies while they're also trying to see patients. Finally, more rural residents are uninsured than urban residents, and they're also uninsured for longer periods of time. So the purpose of our study was to use Anderson's behavioral model of health services use to investigate primary and emergency health services utilization among rural low-income women. And just to briefly tell you about Anderson's model, he says that essentially use of services is predicted by three types of factors. So one are predisposing factors, such as demographic characteristics like age, sex, marital status, social structure, such as educational status, employment, ethnicity, and then health beliefs, such as knowledge about disease or knowledge about available services. Enabling factors, he says, are things like personal and family characteristics, such as poverty status, health insurance status, and having a usual source of care, and also community factors like social support, how rural the community is where you live, and the primary care physician rate. And finally, he says need, so essentially having health issues that require services. And Anderson suggests that predisposing characteristics and need characteristics should be the dominant force in decision-making regarding health services use. If enabling factors contribute to that, then he suggests there's inequity in terms of accessing health services. So essentially, we wanted to know what predisposing, enabling, and need factors are associated with primary and emergency health services utilization for rural low-income women. And we hypothesized that predisposing factors create conditions for women to seek care, that care seeking may be limited by income, insurance status, and provider availability, and that women need to recognize they have a health care need before they'll actually seek services. So our data come from a project known as Rural Families Speak. And the green states are the states that participated in this project. And Rural Families Speak is a USDA-funded longitudinal study of 413 low-income families in 23 rural counties in 16 states. And we collected data between 2000 and 2002 on an annual basis. And primarily, the moms consisted of white, African-American, and Latino women who were aged 18 and older. They had at least one child under the age of 13. They had incomes that were equal to or below 300% of the federal poverty line. And they were recruited through programs that serve low-income families, such as TANF or the Welfare Program, WIC, Food Stamps, Head Start, and County Extension Services. And we collected both qualitative and quantitative data in face-to-face interviews. So for purposes of this study, we actually only looked at data from Wave 3, which included 275 moms, so we did have some attrition. And the reason we did that is because as we were analyzing data in Waves 1 and 2, health issues kept popping up. So we were looking at these qualitative interview data, we were looking at the quantitative data, and we had a smaller health inventory, but it was such a primary factor in decision making related to finances, in child care issues, in transportation issues, and it just kept coming up over and over. And so when we got to Wave 3, we decided we needed to expand our health survey and learn more about what was going on with these moms in terms of their health status. So we looked, again, at two types of healthcare utilization in the last year. We looked at self-reported visits to a physician, and there was a mean of 9.57 visits per year, and then self-reported visits to the emergency department, and there was a mean of 0.56 visits to the ED. Independent variables included the predisposing characteristics, again, so demographics were age and marital status. They were all women, so we didn't include that as a covariate. Social structural variables of educational level, employment status, ethnicity, health beliefs, which we operationalized as beliefs about available healthcare services in the community. We also looked at enabling characteristics, so demographics including their poverty status of the household based on the federal poverty line. Health insurance coverage, yes or no. Anderson just says any kind of coverage. He doesn't discriminate between type of coverage. And whether they have a usual source of care. And then community factors we looked at were rurality. And that was how we actually identified our families. We used Butler and Beal's rural-urban continuum codes. We looked at social support through the parenting ladder index. We looked at the primary care physician rate. And we actually got those data from the Community Health Status Indicators Project, which is a HRSA project, and they have county-level data that has the primary care physician rate per 100,000 people, and we match those county-level data to the counties in which our moms lived. And then we looked at health needs. So we looked at chronic health problems, which was an index of 15 chronic health conditions that the moms noted interfered with activities of daily living, such as asthma, cancer, migraine headaches, STDs. We also looked at their overall physical and mental health status using the subscales on the SF-36. So we analyzed all data using STATA 9.0. We computed descriptive statistics, and then we used negative binomial regression to look at predictors of health service use. And if you're not familiar with negative binomial regression, it's just useful for count data that doesn't follow the Poisson distribution. And we entered the variables in blocks based on predisposing, enabling, and need factors. And then we define our significance as p is less than or equal to 0.05. So just to give you a little look at our sample, the moms are on average 31 years of age. Most of them were married or living with a partner. It was about evenly split for education at high school and below, and then having, you know, some college or more. About 59% were working either full-time or part-time for pay. Most of the sample was white, followed by Latina or Hispanic and African-American and other. They were earning about 120% of poverty. Most actually had health insurance coverage. Most had a usual doctor, and they had 1.68 chronic health problems. So without bogging you down too much with numbers, and this table was too huge to get on one slide, essentially we interpreted the data based on what's underneath block three. So that was after we entered all the enabling, predisposing, and need factors. And what you'll see as far as predisposing characteristics are concerned, just age was significant. And actually increasing age was associated with less use, which we thought was very interesting, but have a hypothesis about that, which I will tell you in a minute. Health insurance status and having a regular source of care were associated with increased access to the physician, and then obviously worse physical health was also associated with increased access to a physician. As far as the emergency department use is concerned, actually none of the enabling or need characteristics were significant, or excuse me, enabling or predisposing characteristics were significant until we included need. And then what you see is actually the county rate of primary care physicians, so the more physicians in their area, the less likely they were to use the emergency room. And just to go back, I don't know if you noticed that, divorced, separated, or widowed women, somehow it got bumped down, but they were almost five times as likely to use the emergency department. And women with more chronic health conditions are also more likely to use the ED. So essentially, women reporting, sorry about that, a higher incidence rate of physician visits were significantly more likely to have health insurance, a regular doctor, and worse self-reported health. And women reporting a lower incidence rate of physician visits were significantly more likely to be older. For emergency department use, women who had higher incidence rate of ED use were more likely to be divorced, separated, or widowed, and have more chronic health problems. And then women reporting a lower incidence rate of ED visits were more likely to live in communities with higher rates of physicians. So what does this mean? Based on Anderson's model, first of all, it suggests that rural women experience inequitable access to care for both physical or physician and emergency department visits. And that's because enabling factors like health insurance, having a usual source of care, and availability of primary care physicians influence their access. Further, identifying a provider as one's own clearly promotes continuity of care. Additionally, health insurance, like others have reported, facilitates access. And finally, increasing numbers of physicians in rural areas may actually decrease less cost-effective utilization of services, primarily emergency department use. Additional findings of interest. So one thing that we noted was that need did drive usage. So when there was a need, women were going. Interestingly, and we weren't sure what was going on with this, but divorced, separated, and widowed women were more likely to use the ED. So this may be a vulnerable population that warrants further study about why this is occurring. Additionally, the idea that older women had lower physician usage rates seems to be counterintuitive. We often see as women age, they're using healthcare services more. But one of the things we hypothesized was that in limited resource households, they may be actually putting their own health needs aside for children and for partners. But again, that's an area for further study. Limitations of our study, these are not nationally representative data, although it is one of the only studies of rural women with as much national representation as we have. The data are self-reported, so we didn't go and look at charts to see what they actually did. They're cross-sectional, so obviously no causal inferences can be made, and there may be some variables we did not include, sorry, I'm going ahead of myself, that may have produced bias in the findings. So we only looked at what Anderson looked at, and we did not include anything else that may be associated with their seeking care. So finally, implications for public health. We need to target residents who do not have regular contact with the physician and or are without health insurance. We definitely need to increase residents' awareness about Medicaid and eligibility requirements. We found in our interviews that many of them were eligible and they didn't know it. So how do we get eligible folks to enroll in Medicaid so that they do have coverage? Increasing the number of physicians working in rural areas and trained to care for rural populations. So it's not enough to just get physicians there, but they really need to be culturally competent. Developing unique health supports for divorced, separated, and widowed women. So again, this may be a vulnerable population that is not being examined but may have some unique needs that could benefit from further research and intervention. And then better understanding health decision-making, including how health needs may be prioritized within the family. So are these women, you know, maybe sacrificing their own health for the health of other family members, and how do we, you know, sort of understand that process and help them to also get to the doctor, get health care if they need it, in addition to their family members. And just a quick acknowledgement, this research was funded by the USDA. We had three NRI grants that funded this work.